Hello, I'm Ambrose Jeffuria.
And I am Andrew Papadopoulos.
Welcome to the NFL 20 podcast.
One of the top four NFL podcasts in the greater Whetstone area. There we go. So, here we are. We are in week 11 of the NFL season, and we're doing our third podcast of the season, naturally. Being a world champion athlete is difficult.
Yeah. What time is it there, Andrew?
It is 9:30 p.m.
Oh, excellent. That's a very convenient time to do a podcast.
It is. What time is it in India?
It is 3 a.m.
There you go. So, never let it be said that Ambrish is not dedicated. Because he literally got up at 2 a.m. to do this.
Yeah.
My God. Brutality. But you're coming back soon, so it's going to be like back to the normal studio.
I'm going to be coming back around playoff time.
Yeah, it's good stuff. That's when it really heats up anyway. Because this season has been a little bit strange. So once we get to the playoffs, I think we can all feel better about ourselves. And we're not going to have to worry too much about the litany of injuries and how you've got the Texans and the Jets in the middle of your rankings.
Mm-hmm. And we also don't have to worry about how last week... Jeez, it was insane. Do you know how many games like the system got correct last week? Well, my system got correct last week.
I literally have no idea. This isn't a setup question where Ambrish told me something earlier and now is rhetorically asking me. I actually don't know. So tell me.
Four
out of the entire slate.
Yeah, out of four. I think it was 14 games last week.
Yeah, it must have been.
Possibly 13. But either way, it was four games, right?
Pretty tough. Pretty tough.
Yeah. The spread also got four. As did, like, even the 538 pick in the role. It was terrible, horrendous out there.
I guess it didn't get the Baltimore result, right?
I don't think we did, no.
No.
I can't remember, to be honest.
Not even God thought that would happen.
Who'd you lose to? The Jags?
Jags, in Baltimore. Yeah. I've seen that ending to a game before. I've seen the whole time expires, face mask, the quarterback. Oh, just puts you in field goal range and win. I think it must have been like 2006 when Washington was playing maybe Dallas in Washington. Okay. And Washington managed to win because of that exact thing. And Nick Novak. Do you remember Nick Novak?
I do remember Nick Novak.
The name Nick Novak. He kicked the game winner. But it was so much more fun when that happened because it wasn't the Ravens. So, yeah.
So it's only happened four times in history that a game's been won by a team after a defensive penalty, which would have ended, but there's a defensive penalty on the last play, and then the team got another play because the game's not allowed to end on a defensive penalty.
Isn't that what happened last year in the London game?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's not what happened. That was. Offsides, I think, or something. Not offsides, a false start.
Oh, yeah, because it was special teams. Anyway, it was a kick, so it wasn't defence. So, let's do
that. But also, while we're still talking about the Baltimore thing, the Jags weren't set. When the ball was snapped, Jags were not set.
Yeah, I'd say I didn't spot that, but it was still terrible. What I was still thinking about was the dropped interception. Like moments before, like the easiest interception ever, just like breadbasket interception, just like no one around the guy, he just dropped it. It's just so easy.
Well, it is tough to catch those balls that come directly at you when you're a professional NFL player, right?
Yeah, and there's no one else, and it's a floaty pass, it's just dropping out of the sky.
No.
There you go, there's our review wrap up.
So this week, we're going to have we're going to actually go back to having a news section.
Okay.
Going to do a few game previews from this coming week.
Yeah. And then Ambrose is going to go to bed.
And then famously, we're going to have our Super Bowl predictions, which unfortunately we couldn't do in week 8, so we're going to do in week 11 instead.
More and more pressure to be accurate. So you can let this in.
Okay, I'm going to start off with the big news. As in literally about a big man.
This is massive. This is huge.
Former professional wrestler Rob Ryan has gone the way of the dodo, the mullet, and the theory that the sun goes around the earth, in that he is now extinct. He is not a thing anymore. The Saints have finally seen the light and got rid of him.
Do you think they'll eventually get rid of Peyton as well? Not get rid of him, but do you think he'll leave?
I think... Sean Peyton is amazing. He's like a hero there.
Yeah, I know.
How can they get rid of him?
I wouldn't leave if I was him. But anyway, let's talk about Rob Ryan. The Saints' defense has been very, very bad. They've been ripped the last few weeks. They got absolutely ripped by New York. And the same thing happened with Tennessee.
And yeah, they got ripped by Washington last week, didn't they?
Yeah, they got destroyed.
That was the final blow. Andrew.
They must have literally conceded about 200 points in the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Hey, Andrew.
What?
What's the worst team in the league?
Is it the Saints?
It's the Saints.
Oh, it's not Baltimore.
Like, they managed to just be so terrible.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm looking at their previous scores.
Did you say 100 points in the last 4 weeks? Do you mean the last 3 weeks?
I said 200 points in the last 4 weeks.
Oh, no, they didn't get that.
Held the Colts to 21. That was in week 7. And after that, it was like 40 burgers pretty regularly.
Sorry, what? 40 points, you mean?
40 burgers.
No, they're not a burger, dude. There are only 2 burgers in this game.
Is it the 37 burger?
Yeah.
Not a 57 burger.
There's no such thing.
Well, interestingly, we had a 37 burger last week, actually. I didn't notice that before, but we did.
We did.
It was the Bears.
It was the Bears.
The original burger people. Because I believe they're the ones that first put on the 73 burger.
Oh, yeah.
They did, didn't they? Against, like, was it the Giants they put it on, or was they make that up? I feel like it was the Giants.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah. But, I mean, this was a little bit before when I started watching the NFL in 2009.
Yeah, it wasn't in like the 30s or something, was it?
Yeah.
Anyway.
30s or 40s, I can't even remember exact dates.
Anyway, we're full of facts. Facts just coming at you here on the NFL 20 podcast. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Rob Ryan is gone, unfortunately, and his brother refused to hire him.
Well, he didn't refuse. They asked him whether he'd hire him, and he went, well, it would be really fun to work with him again, but not right now. Which basically means I don't want him fucking up a really good season where we have a chance to make the postseason.
Yeah. I can't think exactly what the problem was. It's hard to say exactly one thing that was wrong with Rob Ryan, but he was a little bit of a fiasco.
The problem with him is that he's terrible. He is highly overrated.
He did that
and lives off his brother's name
and his dad's to an extent, I guess, as well. And we don't know when he'll resurface. We'll definitely keep our sort of periscope trained on the horizon for when the whale-like figure of Rob Ryan surfaces again, and we'll alert you instantly. We'll instantly do a podcast.
So, Andrew, you remember last season there was a blockbuster quarterback trade, like in the off-season?
Yes.
Where Foles and Bradford swapped.
It was.
From Philadelphia.
It was a blockbuster.
St. Louis.
It was. We've now.
So, how many of them are playing this week?
We've arrived in a position where neither man is playing this week for the exact reasons you would have expected when the trade happened. Bradford got injured. Shoulder injury, even better. He's released.
Oh, his ACL is intact. That's amazing.
But the shoulder is. He's more famous for the shoulder, I think.
No, Bradford's ACL is the big issue, really.
But it was the shoulder when he was drafted, so that's why it's just more what I know him for. So he's typecast himself there. And Nick Foles has been not very good, which is weird, because I would have thought, with Todd Gurley running riot everywhere, and St. Louis generally doing pretty well, that you could have maybe hidden. Like, if I was him, I could have thought, I'm getting away with this a bit. I'm sure that Jeff Fisher hasn't noticed yet that I'm slightly unformed because I'm handing off to Todd Gurley like a champion. You know, the defense is clamping down, really good stuff.
But what you have to remember is, if you are a quarterback with an extraordinary running back with you, you have to hand off with a particular grace and elegance. And Nick Foles just wasn't doing that.
Do you remember the Tom Brady Statue of Liberty?
Hashtag Teddy Bridgewater.
Does he look good? Do you remember the Tom Brady Statue of Liberty move?
No, I did not.
I don't know why, but there were these times when, I don't know, they seemed to quite a lot of focus on it at a certain point. I think it was like 4 or 5 years ago. He would hand the ball off to his running back, and then as a sort of a fake, but I don't understand how this worked, he would sort of like stick his arm right in the air immediately after handing it off, like as if saying, I don't know, you'd be able to see that he didn't have the ball in his hand, obviously. So I'm not sure what the point of that was, but he used to do it.
So I guess, and this is just off the top of my head, is that if you're a lineman coming up, then you usually keep your head fairly low. And if Tom Brady has his arm way up, then you have to kind of turn your head and look up. And as you basically do that, maybe you put yourself in a very vertical position.
Yeah, as a distraction, possibly.
And you're not as low as you want to be to make a tackle. And then you kind of look up, and by the time you look back down, the running back's gone.
Yeah. Lawrence Maroney has torched you.
Oh, torched you for the Statue of Liberty. Good reference.
Oh, that was a complete accident. I still don't get why. But, you know, he did that, and it was weirdly effective. It was like, I think it was just a distraction, because like it's not like it's a football move. Like, when you do have the ball, you have... It was his arm was literally just straight up in the sky. It wasn't even like...
Do you not pass like that, with your arm straight up in the sky?
Yeah,
you've got to learn how to pass. You've got to learn how to pass.
You're not allowed to bend your elbow when you're passing the NFL.
Pterodactyl style.
What if that was the case? Anyway, back to the superb Nick Foles. He's not had the best sort of supporting cast, but I guess it's good enough. Tavon Austin had a couple of really nice games earlier in the year.
Yeah, Greg the Leg, still beasting.
I was thinking more guys he could throw to, but yeah, sure.
To be honest, he's been throwing to Greg the Leg on the sideline anyway. He's like, boom, check down.
He's like, oh man, I thought you were eligible receiver. He's like, nah, man, I'm practicing my kicks over here. It's so accurate. So Nick Foles is benched, and who's on the case?
The Casey Keenum.
Casey. He still doesn't call him Case after all these years. He still calls him Case. Case Keenum.
It's because that's not his name.
Case Keenum is back. I still, obviously, you want Case Keenum to do well, but I want him to do well as well.
My boy from the Cougar, my favourite Cougar.
There he is, Houston Cougar, Case Keenum, former insane college fantasy football quarterback. So there we go. Well, we haven't mentioned Sanchez yet.
Yeah, so. Sanchez is back, possibly. I'm assuming Bradford's injury keeps him out for this week.
/ this season. Do the Eagles have a chance to make the playoffs?
Yes. Like, right now it looks like an 8-8 team will definitely get in. A 7-8 might get in. A 7-9 might get you into the playoffs still in that division. Okay, so other people who are back.
Yes.
Include... famous large-handed receiver Hakeem Nicks, who's back with the Giants.
Well, I wish Hakeem Nicks hadn't got injured and hadn't sort of faded a bit when he went to the Colts, because like I always thought he was quite a good player to have around, especially in New York, because you know I like the whole Nicks thing because obviously like it worked, you know, and then Akeem Hicks emerged and made it even better. So like
when they marked up on each other. Little known fact, Hakeem Nicks' old name when he was born was actually Hakeem Knickerbockers.
That he shortened it to be more catchy. But I don't think Akeem Hicks marked Hakeem Nicks at any point, because Akeem Hicks is like a defensive end outside linebacker.
So, did he not? I thought he did.
He wasn't. I think we made that up. He's not a cornerback or anything like that. Congratulations to Hakeem Nicks. He signed with the Giants, which is nice. You know, familiar with the coaching staff, at least. Tom Coughlin, Eli Manning.
Yeah.
Hopefully he can have a nice little end of season and I can pick him up in fantasy. Woo! Beast.
Yeah, which you were totally planning to do. Oh, hey, no, you just found that out right now when I told you that Hakeem Nicks was back.
Yeah, that's true. How the fuck did you find that out?
from the news.
Yeah. My bad. And, along with Hakeem, another NFC East player who was returning, but he never really left, is Tony Bromo.
Indeed. He has returned from his significant injury, which I can't remember the nature of, His return from his injury.
It was a broken clavicle.
Yeah.
I remember very clearly when it happened, because he was my fantasy quarterback. Well, I'm sure the Dallas Cowboys are absolutely delighted with that, because, let's face it, Matt Castle has been shit. They've lost seven straight since he got injured. Seven straight.
Yeah. They've they also cut... I think they've cut the weed man as well.
Have they cut the weed machine?
Yeah. When Bromo came back this week. They cut him this weekend. Mm. So when we say he's back, we mean he's eligible to return this week. Because he was on... he was placed on IR, eligible to return, when he got injured. And now, this week, he can come back. And all signs are indicating that he will come back.
Bad news for the Dolphins. Good news for the Cowboys. So that's almost all we've got in terms of the news. But we do have one more quite sad bit of news, which is also mysterious and a little bit confusing. What is it, Amber?
It's Alden Smith has been suspended for a year.
Because we don't know why. He was starting to form a very very nice sort of pass rush tandem with Khalil Mack, who's obviously a beast, famously. Both very young as well. So to have him suspended all of a sudden like this for a whole year is, you know, the Raiders are going to be, you know, they're not going to be too happy about that. Shame. I'm quite sad, because I mean, I want the Raiders to be a bit better. They've got a good young team, I think, and this was, you know, Smith was definitely helping that, but now it's just like, bam, maybe we'll find out he did something awful, but, you know, so there we have it. That is the news. It was quite a sad news segment, but, you know, two good bits, so. So now we're going to go on to some game previews. We've got some brief previews here, because Ambrish is awake at 3 a.m. in the country of India, and he has to go to bed.
It's now 3:24 a.m.
3:24 a.m. Excuse me. So, so the three games are previewing. The first game we got for preview up today is Denver at Chicago.
For those of you who don't know, Chicago quarterback Jay Cutler used to play for a little team in the mountains in Colorado by the name of Denver.
Tell you like an actual storybook. Like, little team in the mountains by the name of Denver.
Yeah. This is the first time, despite the fact that he got traded, or he moved more than 4 years ago, I think he was injured during the last time when they played each other. So it's actually the first time he's going back and playing against Denver. Well, not going back, but playing against Denver.
Wow, I find that really surprising. I mean, obviously they're in different conferences. The Bears have sucked. So they've not really met the Broncos in the playoffs at any point. But I still find that very surprising. But Jay Cutler is... He's been on the uptick. I've always had a bit of a soft spot for Jay Cutler, because he was so entertaining in Denver. He's been terrible at Chicago the whole time. Almost.
Oh, what? I thought you just liked him because of his ability to look like he's smoking.
Yeah, Jay Cutler smoking, yeah. put a cigarette in his mouth. Looks right. Anytime. But no, he was great in Denver with Brandon Marshall. That was absolutely amazing. I loved watching the Broncos back then. But since then, he's been a little bit helter-skelter. But now, Adam Gase, also a former Bronco, seems to be, getting him back focused, making fewer mistakes, caring when he loses, and they could win, the Bears.
Yeah. This could also be the return game. It looks like it probably will be of Matt Fort.
Is he actually coming back?
Running back. So it's not confirmed yet, but...
Why? Why would they just go with Langford?
So Jeremy Langford replaced Matt Forte, who went down with an MCL injury, and Langford has been playing very well for the last few weeks, which is partly why I think they didn't bring Forte back last week. But Forte is arguably the top running back in the league.
Todd Gurley's like, unfollow these bitches on Twitter. I'm sure Todd
Gurley. That's a lie. He would never unfollow us. He loves us too much.
After what we said, all the nice things we said about his haircut. Yeah, like, I don't think, I feel like Langford is going to play, and I feel like he might play most of the rest of the year, because isn't Forte's contract up next year?
Yes, which is why Chicago are playing him till he dies, basically, this year.
No, you got. I think they've got to find out what you know, if they can roll with Langford, because he looked great last week.
Yeah, I think they already know. He's played for, what, 2-3 weeks, and he's looked great throughout.
Mm.
So, they're pretty confident that they can go with Langford. But Forte is better than Langford still. And they've shown that they're willing to just keep running him. He's getting, like, 20-plus carries in most games before he got injured.
Yeah. Yeah, he was having an okay year.
He was having a very good year. Yeah. And, like, they've decided that they're basically going to run him into the ground and then just dump him.
Like smugglers. It was like, shit, they found us. Destroy the ship.
Indeed. But so far, we've ignored the elephant in this room, or at least in this game.
The 17,000-yard elephant.
Yes. So the greatest quarterback of all time. No argument there. No debate. The unarguably undoubted greatest quarterback of all time. Peyton Manning is currently suffering from plantar fasciitis.
And which one's that again?
The plantar fasci.
When you first plant. On national TV.
So your plantar fasci is your, or fascia, is your, it's a basically a muscle or a series of muscles on the bottom of your foot. That's kind of like a flat thing that runs right across your foot.
Right, right, right.
It is a really painful injury. And it's one of the trickiest injuries to recover from. Because anytime you put weight in your foot, you're basically stretching that muscle.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to keep your leg elevated and off the ground. So you can't do any training either when you have it. And yeah, it's super frustrating as someone who's had it before, but not to that extent. So the other thing that happened during the last week's game is that he tore it further during the game.
Do you think that's why he made 5 completions and 4 interceptions?
He was in a lot of pain. So it hurts every time you put your foot down.
Should have probably just benched him. Should probably just not start him.
Well, he injured it during the game, like fairly early on, I'm assuming. I don't know that for a fact. He probably shouldn't have started. He definitely shouldn't have continued in that game for as long as he did. Mm. It's probably made it a little bit harder for him to return anytime soon.
Maybe he needs a little bit of time off, though.
Yeah. How long, though? I mean, you were saying before the podcast, do you want to make a prediction?
Yeah. Well, I was thinking that maybe that was the last we see of Peyton in the NFL. I don't want that to be the case, obviously. Well, like, if he's going to play like that, I want it to be the case. But, like, I want him to come back and be, you know, good. But, yeah.
What, you mean like he was the week before this one?
That one match against Green Bay, he was good, yeah. I don't know what the hell that was. That was, like, amazing. But the ghost came back, the ghost of Peyton. Yeah, I don't know if I want to call it a bet. I don't know how I feel about
Peyton coming back.
Yeah, Peyton never coming back. That would be my bet.
I'll take that bet.
I think it's...
How can you play again?
Maybe, should we call it a bet to make it interesting?
Yeah, call that a bet, sir. So yeah. I think Peyton Manning is going to play more football in his career.
An NFL game ever again.
Yes.
That seems likely, but I will still bet that he doesn't.
Call that a bet, sir.
There you go. But now we've got Brock. Time for Brock to step up. They've got to see what they've got in Brock, you know.
It's Brock Lesnar taking over as quarterback.
Brock Lesnar, JJ Watt. He's coming in. He's like, he's a bit, you know, Brock Osweiler is, he reminds me a little bit of Jay Cutler. He's got a big arm. He's got no mobility. He can put some zip on the throws. But he hasn't really shown the consistency or the accuracy to actually be a good NFL quarterback. you know.
Well, he's still quite young. He was it this year, last year, when was he picked?
It was a little bit earlier than that. I mean, it was a good 3 or 4 years ago at least.
Okay. So the bookies have Chicago winning by 1 point.
Hmm. Interesting. By 1 point.
Who
do I think will win? I reckon Chicago will win too. I reckon they'll win by more than 1 point. I don't think
you're going to win by more than 1 point.
Yeah, I don't think Brock Lesnar. I'm saying it. I don't think Brock Osweiler is anything. So
okay.
Yeah, Chicago.
You know what? Should we call that a bet, sir?
The Chicago will win.
I think Denver will win.
Oh, okay. Let's do it.
Call that a bet, sir. Brock Osweiler is still quite young. I mean, he's not Peyton Manning old. He's not like a rookie, but he's not that old. Incidentally, Brock Osweiler, 57th pick, or as we like to call it, the Heinz pick.
The Heinz pick. Ambridge actually thought of a relevance to the number 57. Other than Brock Osweiler, of course. And he did it off the top of his head. See, I would have been sitting here thinking, what the fuck is 57? 57 is nothing. But, you know, the Heinz, of course. Every tin of Heinz, anything, the ketchup, it's got the 57 on the front. Why is that again?
It's the year it started. I don't know. I think it might be the year it started.
I don't think it's the year it started. I think it's something more obscure than that. But anyway.
Maybe it's like they had 57 different kinds of... No, they didn't have 57 different kinds of soup.
It might be 57 different kinds of thing that they do.
Could be.
Could be that.
Are you sure they didn't start in like 1857?
Yeah. Presenting the world with spaghetti hoops with meatballs and tins. Hey everyone, don't worry about those wars that are coming up.
So it's something like, is it 90 or 99% of baked beans in the world are consumed in the UK?
No way.
Yeah, it's a very British thing.
That's insane.
Other people just don't have baked beans, it's just not a thing.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess they don't. You know what's good? Baked beans on potato waffles. Really works.
I know. Did I introduce you to that?
No, I used to have it when I was a kid.
Oh. Did you introduce me to that?
I feel like I wouldn't have, but it's possible, actually. I definitely would have been the other way around, because I definitely had it when I was at school. I kept eating it every day when I get home, and I was so fat. Anyway.
You know what some people like? Putting a bit of cheese on top. And speaking of cheese... we move on to our next game, which is Green Bay.
There you go.
Minnesota.
That is great. That's not even the notes. That's just pure presenting acumen from Ambrose Shapira. Yes.
What do you mean we didn't have notes about how we're going to talk about waffles and beans?
Yeah, we ruthlessly script every single moment. No wonder you kept trying to say Brock Lesnar. You've got it written in the notes. Anyway, so, next game. Green Bay, Minnesota, though. Green Bay, Minnesota. Minnesota leading this division. How happy are they? And how happy were they last week when Green Bay managed to fuck up and lose to Detroit? I mean, they must have been over the flipping moon.
Because that's kind of opened the door for them to come in and potentially win the division.
They're a game ahead now. They're a game up on Green Bay. Who look like they're reeling a little bit. They've been quite a little bit poor the last couple of weeks. See, there was the Denver thing. The Denver thing was bad. Very, very uncharacteristically spluttery performance. Do you think Rodgers might be injured?
Yeah.
Is Rodgers injured? I mean, like...
Not that I'm aware of. I think he's just not playing as well as we're used to seeing him play.
Randall Cobb, don't forget. He's what the hell's going on with him? He was one of the main men. Now it's Richard Rodgers. It's all about Richard Rodgers, tight end extraordinaire, and Perillo.
So last year, I mean, they had Jordy Nelson to take all the really double coverage, the big coverages, and then Randall Cobb was free to kind of go around and do whatever he wants, and now he's getting the top D-back or the double coverage, and he's not coping with it as well as people expected him to.
The boy that everyone was all over in fantasy drafts this preseason known as Devontae Adams, hasn't exactly delivered. He's not got the hands, really, because Rodgers targets him quite often. I mean, like, you know, when he's on the field, obviously. He was injured for a while. But last week, I think he was targeted about 20 times, almost. He didn't make 20 catches, though. That was, so he's a little bit inefficient. So I think there's a lot of different things sort of stacking
up. So again, I think just stepping up from the receiver number 3 to number 2, and getting, more importantly, getting that D-back who's a little bit harder now. He's maybe just not able to cope with that added pressure.
Yeah, and it was only Detroit. I mean, like, Detroit haven't got the best defense in the world. They get some good pressure on the quarterback, I guess, but their D-backs aren't like the stars. So that was a strange result. But how are they going to deal with Minnesota? I mean, like...
Well, and another thing to remember is, I mean, they came in with, some people said the best, like, theoretically one of the best running backs in the league, Eddie Lacy, who has now been benched for James Starks.
James Starks is always there. He's always dependable. He's a little backup guy.
Yeah. He was... I remember when... I think my first year of playing fantasy football, I drafted Ryan Grant as my running back, who went down during the first game.
Brilliant.
And then James Starks kind of burst onto the scene.
Yeah. Was he a rookie?
I can't remember. He was young.
He could have been. He's not... It was a few years ago you played fantasy for the first time, I think.
Like, it's 2010 possible. Or so?
It's possible Starks could have been a rookie. Interesting factoid, went to the same college as Khalil Mack. University of Buffalo. Because they're the only two guys I know who have ever gone to that uni. College, whatever. That is true, though. But, so, the problem is, though, I don't know what they're going to do, because the Vikings have a really good rush defense. Are they just going to... They can't just ignore rushing, can they?
Well, that is the traditional Green Bay way under Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I don't know. Lots of short passes, I guess. Or lots of, well, actually, lots of intermediate and long passes, too, because you can fucking do all of them. But, like, yeah, I mean, this is a bit of a tough spot for the Vikings. Sorry, not for the Vikings, for the Packers. It's in Minnesota, yeah. I think, this game. So the fans are going to be up for it. It's another big test. It's another big test for the Vikings. Yeah. They had that overtime win against the Rams, which I think was good clutch step upage. Like, you know, for a young quarterback, relatively young team. It's important when you make those sort of steps, because it makes you think, oh yeah, we actually can win matches, and we don't just lose when the going gets tough. So this is going to be a similar situation, because obviously Green Bay are the dogs in that division, and they have been for years. But if they can bring Green Bay into the house of snow, whatever it's called, the house of snow, and rip their asses, then it's going to be like, boom. Yeah, that's right. They fuck with Minnesota. There you go.
Okay. So the bookies have Minnesota by 1 point.
Oh, just like the last game.
Indeed.
Wow. For some reason, though, even though the Vikings are a better team than the Bears, I'm having a tougher time thinking the Vikings... They surely have to win, though. Rodgers...
You're going with the Vikings?
I don't know. This is definitely not a call that a bet, sir, one.
No, it's not. Not for me either. So the system says the Packers are going to win by, like, 1.5 points.
Pretty close.
Yeah. Well, half points are really rare. Like, by half field goal.
Well, if I had to pick a team, I probably would pick... Can I just pick Green Bay? I would pick Green Bay, yeah. Despite all those, like, you know, very positive things I said about Minnesota and none of the positive things I said about Green Bay, I would still go with them because, you know, that's why this game's very important. Could be a little bit of a turning point game, especially for this season, because if Green Bay lose, then it's, you know, it's just like saying, okay, so you're two games back and you're basically not the best team in that division right now.
Speaking of teams that are on 7-2, Cincinnati are traveling to Arizona to play the Cardinals.
There you go, yeah, Arizona. Arizona next. 7-2 Beasts. I mean, the thing is, though, about this game, this is in Arizona, but I have no... There's no part of me that thinks Cincinnati's going to win. Anyway, I don't want to say that yet. Anyway.
Why is that? Because you're such a big fan of George Lazenby.
I'm just such a big fan. The boy Dalton, he's not playing like Sean Connery. He's playing like George Lazenby. I mean, I don't want to say that he's having the postseason swoons that he usually has, because that's not really very scientifically anything, that he just gets crap in December or whatever. But like, he kind of did it. He kind of did it on Monday night against Houston. He was plop. I heard. I didn't see the whole thing live, but I heard in the second half he was looking terrible, just sailing the balls around, just like sidelines, throwing it at the kickers. You know, Greg Zuerlein caught one. You know, it was just like, you know, it was bad times.
Yeah, threw it all the way to St. Louis.
Yeah, exactly.
That man is incredibly frustrating. He's just so mediocre.
Yeah, and he's been so good in fantasy this year, which is why I was so annoyed.
Yeah, but he's not that good in reality.
No, I don't think he is. I think he's alright, but he's not all that. He's not Aaron Rodgers, one might say. Bad news for Philip. Bad news for Philip and his duckies. Shout out to Philip, by the way. We did a shout out to him last year, and now he's in our fantasy league. And he's kind of winning it, so... Unsportsmanlike...
Well, he's not winning it, but he could win it, definitely.
Unsportsmanlike conduct there from Philip.
Has he picked up another quarterback? Alex Smith?
Yes. He's just going for the mediocre men. He just thinks, like, if there's a quarterback and he throws for over 3,000 yards, I don't want him in my team.
Dude, Alex Smith has been playing well this year. But anyway, that's not really what we're talking about right now. The running back situation in Cincinnati is kind of interesting as well.
Yeah. This,
Jeremy Hill started the season as a starter. And now Giovanni Bernard, by the way, don't call him Gio. He doesn't like that, genuinely.
Yeah.
He's taken over again, like he did a couple of years ago.
Well, Bernard was always very talented. I always thought it was very strange that they just kind of went away from him.
I know, they didn't even trade him. They just kind of started ignoring him, like he doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, poor boy. But the talent has told, as Jeremy Hill has inexplicably regressed from his very promising first year. And now it's back to Giovanni. And his little catches out of the slot and on screen routes, as we should call them.
Giovanni looks really good. Like, he's running well, he's getting into space, he's blocking well. He's all around looking like a really good player, and I think that's a big part of their game.
Yeah.
Is their reliance on Giovanni.
The Bengals have a very, very talented offense, just all the way around. Even Tyler Eifert has talent.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't want to show it on Monday night, though.
Well, he mostly did, except for three crucial situations where he went, like,
touchdown.
I could catch this ball, or I could just let it slide through my fingers.
How's AJ Green been this year? Because you've got him in fantasy. You must have had a pretty good eye on...
He's not been great. I mean, he's great. He's great. But Andy Dalton is spectacularly good at missing him whenever he's open. Or just ignoring him.
Yeah.
Just dumping it off to Giovanni Bernard or Tyler Eifert. Because he doesn't have the skill to throw it downfield to a great receiver.
So, we've got one quarterback who's having... He was having a good year, is maybe looking a bit wobbly now. And then another quarterback who is having a great year, and despite what I would have expected, he's continuing to have a great year and doesn't look at all like he's about to fall apart or die. Carson Palmer.
Oh, crap, I totally forgot. Yeah, carry on. Who? Sorry?
Carson Palmer,
yes. Who did most of his damage with a certain team called what was their name? Oh yeah, Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah. The Cardinals are obviously one of the best teams in the league this year. Like, they're actually one of the teams that have a good record and they look good. Like, they're better than Minnesota, who are 7-2.
Yes.
They're very well balanced.
That is a hashtag fact.
That is a hashtag fact. They're very well balanced. They got great defense. Got great offense. It's like Shazam. You know.
Well, I mean, I'd say they're well balanced. I don't say they're like super balanced. Their D is very good, but they're always like spectacular.
That's what Carson likes to hear. So, but they had a couple of injuries last week though.
One of the big injuries actually for them. They were doing really well against Seattle, and then Mikey Potty got injured.
Yeah.
They had him scanned. It looked like it could be really bad. He headed out. He left the game. He went straight to the medical facility. They had an MRI and a CAT scan, and all came back negative. He's all right. From that point on, they had like a 17-point lead when Ubaldi got injured, and they lost the lead by the time they got to the fourth quarter, and had to like make this massive comeback. After Ubaldi went down, a certain player who's been performing very well, one CJ 2 Yards, went back to his original name and couldn't make it very far at all. He was running very short distances.
Right. So if they don't have him this week, i.e. Party, I mean, could be more problems for Arizona, potentially. Because, I mean, Cincinnati's defense is pretty good. I mean, they're not going to be able to just kind of, like, just blast those throws. Though they did it against Seattle, who were also pretty good. So tough.
Cincinnati has one of the best defenses in the league.
Yeah.
So, going up against them, if they're missing your party, it's going to be, or your party, as you call him, it's going to be very difficult because he's opening up those running lanes, which allows like CJ2K and Chris Johnson, that is, and Andre Ellington to kind of make use of that, which then opens them up for the play action, at which point they can bomb it to Larry Fitz or Michael Floyd if his hamstring works, or John Brown if his hamstring works, or Jerome Brown, because apparently they all have to be called the same thing.
Jerome Brown! Fitz was looking great apparently as well last week, so maybe he's, what the hell are they drinking? I mean, like, these guys who are just extinct, defunct players, just coming back. Well, happy for them.
The Fountain of Youth has been discovered in Arizona.
It's in Arizona, where there's not that much water, actually.
Well, to be fair, it makes sense, seeing as what city do they play in? Oh, yeah, Phoenix. They're all rising from the flames.
Oh, man, good jokes. Good jokes. That's good. That's a good one. I'll tell you, that's a great joke. Again, not planned, not scripted. This is all coming from the mind of Amrish Shapira. Scary place. Anyway, so, let's predict the game. This is also a tough one. We've picked 3 good games there, I think. That was good job, us. I can't pick a clear winner there. I think I'm going to go for Arizona, but like, I don't think they're going to crush them. Especially not with Ayu Party injured.
I'll also go for Arizona. The bookies have Arizona to win by 5 points, and my system have them to win by 7.5.
Wow, no respect for Cincinnati.
Yeah. 8-1 with apparently toilet paper these days. I think it's time for us to make our picks for who are going to be the 2 teams competing in the Super Bowl.
Bom, bom.
So, shall the system and I go first?
Absolutely, man. Go have a crack at it.
Okay. You're not going to like me for saying that the AFC, there's only one team that's in it, really, isn't it? It's a one-horse race.
You mean New England?
It's not the Colts when I said a one-horse race, just to clarify. New England.
It's the Broncos. Oh, just kidding. Sorry, okay. You think New England?
Yeah, the Broncos are looking really good, too, but the Patriots are a different level from everyone.
Yeah, it's hard to say that you are wrong.
I'm sorry.
I can't even make the case for Baltimore this year. Great, but the
NFC... the Broncos are, as you said, the Broncos are actually really good. They're the third best team in the league.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know, man. I think it might be. I think we might be done. What about Cincinnati?
Again, they're just not as good. But on the other side, so my prediction is the New England Patriots versus the Arizona Cardinals in the Super Bowl.
That's Super Bowl for you.
Wow. That's my Super Bowl picks.
Okay, so you've got you've got the AFC being won by the Patriots. So how did you then arrive? Because there's a couple of good, there's some good teams in the NFC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you're most convinced by the Cardinals.
So what it is? So actually, with my system, that suggests the Panthers are going to be the first seed in the AFC, which kind of makes sense. They're undefeated.
Yeah.
But the Cardinals are going to get a bye week, and the Cardinals are good enough that they can go to Carolina and beat Carolina at Carolina.
That'd be a tough one.
Yeah, but they're the second best team in the league after the frankly dominant New England Patriots.
Yeah. It's funny how you predicted them to be the best team in the league in the preseason, like you do every preseason. And I was like, oh, I don't know, Brady was looking quite bad this preseason. It's quite bad. And then they are just the best team. Again.
Yeah, it's not like they're the best team. They're the best team by a long way.
But
no one's ever going to debate that right now.
But now, with they caught a couple of injuries. They lost to Sebastian Vollmer, I believe, and Edelman. So is Brady running out of options to throw to? Because he's not been throwing it downfield a lot. He's not been doing that.
Yeah, but they just find some random dude from like the training squad, or they'll pick up someone who's like done nothing
Reggie
on
Wayne.
Any team. Hashtag Joe Morgan. They just like pick someone up like that who's kind of been quiet and like has potential that only Bill Belichick can see, and slot him in, and he's going to be great next week.
Great, awesome. Well, I have to say, like, okay, I'm going to try and pick two different teams. Because when I did this last year, I ended up getting it bang on.
Yeah, but you're allowed to pick the Patriots if you want.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Sure. I think I'll try one too, though. But there's a lot of good NFC teams. There's the Rams. There's the Vikings. There's not a lot of the AFC that's jumping out at me. I don't believe in the Broncos.
Okay.
Seahawks as well. They're an NFC team. Falcons? They're not good enough. Yeah, I mean, like, for the AFC, fine. I might have to say New England. The only other one, is it ridiculous to think the Steelers are good?
The Steelers are good, but they should make the playoffs.
Right, yeah, I mean, they definitely should. That division is, yeah. It's you're right. It's tough to look past New England. But it could, I feel like that could get interesting at some point. Like maybe if someone crazy can just get in, the playoffs, like someone from the AFC West or something, like the Chargers or the Raiders or something, can just try and make things interesting. That'd be really great. The NFC is really hard for me to pick. I'd really like Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're looking. They're just solid. They're just solid all the way around. Even though they've only got like two wide receivers and none of them are good, like somehow throwing to Ted Ginn Jr. and Jericho Cotchery, Cam Newton.
Beast.
Exactly. Cam Newton has managed to put together a very good season. Mostly with the running game and the defense, I guess, which is fine, fair enough. I like that. So I would have to go for the Panthers against the Patriots, which would be amazing.
Okay.
Which would be amazing because the Panthers against the Patriots, the Janet Jackson boob Super Bowl, is one of the one of the all-time great Super Bowls.
Yeah, fact. So you've gone adventurous and picked 2-9-0 teams.
Yes, I have.
Classic Andrew fashion. To be usually you do go super adventurous.
Yeah. No, I feel like the Panthers are quite an adventurous pick. Because, I mean, you know, I know they're 9-0, but, like, it's still Cam Newton, though. He's not just a machine. He's a man. He's a very talented man.
He's a superman.
But again, the NFC, like, I mean, that's really lopsided, actually, how many good teams there are in the NFC now.
Yes. But, I mean, if you look at the records, the Bengals and the Broncos are also very good in the AFC.
Yeah. But back in the day, the NFC used to be terrible. It used to be an embarrassment. And now it's got like five great teams, and the AFC has like two max. Anyway, well, there you go. So we've gone for our Super Bowl picks there. Who knows? One of us or a combination of us may be right.
If you want to tell us who you think will be in the Super Bowl this year, why don't you tell us on Twitter at NFL_20.
Or if somehow you can't fit your Super Bowl pick into 140 characters, you can email us the pick at NFL20pod@gmail.com.
Don't forget to subscribe to us and to rate us on whichever podcast player you choose, especially iTunes and things like that.
Oh, I just thought of one thing. I wanted to give a shout out to a friend of mine. My friend
the chain.
No, to my friend Faith. Do you remember her? She started getting interested in the NFL.
No way.
Yeah.
Maybe we should get her on as like a not so special guest at some point.
Not so special guest. It's like, so how much do you know about the NFL, Faith? Nothing.
Did you like go to New York together?
Yeah.
Cool, but you went to Coney Island instead of Giant Stadium.
There you go. We went to Brooklyn instead of Manhattan. That was a good mistake. It was a genuine error. So I would like to give a little shout out to my friend Faith, who currently doesn't know what NFL team she wants to support. It's just a race to see who moves to LA first, really, for her.
So,
you
know who I'd like to give a shout out to?
Who would you like to give a shout out to?
Order 66 for providing us with our music, as always.
Smooth, very good. They are one of the best Star Wars themes band in the UK, really. In the world, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. Must be really looking forward to the Force Awakening.
Yeah, maybe we can have some special Force.
In like 1 month.
Exactly. When you come back, we can have some special Force sound effects on our podcast to commemorate the opening of the movie.
Which leads me to ask, Andrew, who's going to win the Super Bowl?
Carolina Panthers.
Oh, yeah.